Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are on a very specific mission. We're exploring how a high-level design leader makes that jump.
Right.
You know, from being an expert practitioner, the person actually in the files, polishing the details, to becoming a strategic director.
Someone who guides these massive, really complex digital projects.
And to do that, we are looking at the career and philosophy of Chris Gilmore. He's an experienced design director, currently leading teams at EY Design Studio plus Et.
That's right. And for you listening, think of this deep dive as a kind of shortcut to understanding the principles behind modern design leadership. We've synthesized, what, over 14 years of his journey?
And it's quite a journey.
It is. It moves across this staggering variety of industries. Mm. So the real question isn't just what he did, but how. How did he adapt his process to lead a project for, say, a healthcare tool?
Which is so emotionally charged.
And then turn around and design the UI for a cutting-edge blockchain royalty system for Microsoft Xbox.
That range is just, it's astonishing.
What is the single skill that lets one leader navigate those wildly different worlds? Because you're talking about going from a Nike checkout flow 1 year, mm-hmm. to overhauling an insurance sales platform. And then the next year, you're tackling supply chain management for Kohler.
I think it's synthesis. It has to be. And a kind of structural thinking.
Okay.
You see this common thread, this ability to define reusable patterns, these frameworks that you can apply almost universally. The skill isn't mastering insurance. It's mastering the design method that makes insurance or anything complex usable for a human.
Okay, so let's unpack that progression then, because his career really is a kind of blueprint for any designer who wants to move into that more strategic lane.
Well, if you track the trajectory, you see this very deliberate shift. He's moving away from just, you know, a single output and more toward guiding the whole system.
It starts early.
It does. He's a digital art director at a place called Voltage around 2012.
Yeah.
Working with huge lifestyle brands, Adidas, Reebok. So foundational stuff, very hands-on, e-commerce focused.
Exactly. And importantly, he shows this high creative energy. He wins a Webby.
In the weird category. That tells you a lot.
It really does. That early willingness to just push the boundaries, it's so crucial for agency work.
From there, he moves through Hero Digital, launching everything from solar startups to Sephora web experiences before landing this key role at Connective DX.
Right, as a senior interaction designer.
And that period from 2016 to 2018 seems critical.
I call it his infrastructure architect phase. This is where he's partnering with UX architects for, you know, Fortune 500 companies, healthcare, finance, automotive.
And this is where he stops just designing pages.
Yes. He starts designing the pieces of the system. His job is literally to develop design systems, define interaction patterns, create motion prototypes. He becomes the expert in how all the foundational bits fit together.
That distinction is so important for you to get. The shift here is realizing that system-level thinking, that's the gravity that pulls great designers into strategic roles, if you can build the engine.
You get to define where the car goes. Precisely. Mm-hmm. And that leads him right to the big pivot in 2018.
To EY Design Studio plus CAP.
Mm-hmm. And he moves up fast. Senior designer to experienced design director. Now, who's the person who guides the implementation? He makes sure those systems he learned to build are actually used effectively across these massive organizations.
But doesn't that versatility come at a cost? I mean, how do you maintain expertise when you're covering that much ground? Just Nike, Kaiser Permanente, Wells Fargo?
You stop relying on domain knowledge.
Okay.
You lean entirely on process rigor and human-centered principles. His focus shifts. It becomes about organizational efficacy.
Right. If you want to see what that looks like in a high-stakes environment, let's dive into some of the actual project examples. These cases really show how that strategy gets applied in these super technical and often legacy environments.
Let's start with the Starbucks project from 2024. Because this isn't just a design problem.
Yeah.
It's a monumental change management problem.
The scope was just enormous. He had to translate the entire Starbucks menu design process from this manual print-focused thing to being purely digital first. That meant embedding design systems methodology right into the core of the business.
But the challenge wasn't, you know, the look and feel of the menu. It was organizational inertia.
The print teams.
The print teams, exactly.
Yeah.
So this required designing a custom digital tool, an authoring tool, that could control menu delivery and dynamically generate layouts for both the cafe and the drive-thru globally.
So he's not designing the menu. He's designing the tool that shifts the entire organization's workflow.
Yes. He's designing the tool that moves their operational budget toward a digital future. That takes deep, deep strategic business insight.
Okay, now let's pivot completely. The B2B side, the Kohler project from 2025. What's the thread that lets a leader jump from coffee to, well, to supply chain logistics for internal partners?
The thread is always eliminating cognitive load. It's always about optimizing workflows.
So for Kohler?
For Kohler, they built a B2B tool for partners, dealers, showroom associates. It's for bulk ordering, tracking, customer service, basically modernizing a legacy system. In B2B, your success metric is efficiency and reducing errors.
Whereas in B2C, it's about delight.
Right. So the director has to apply the same UX rigor, but shift the emotional target from joy to trust and speed.
Okay, and this is where we really hit the tech frontier, the Microsoft Xbox project from 2021. This feels like a different universe.
It kind of is. This is financial tech meets digital entertainment, specifically a blockchain-based royalty management platform.
Which is a phenomenal example of strategic complexity.
Because when you design for a decentralized ledger, the constraints are completely different. You're dealing with data immutability.
Meaning, once a transaction is recorded, you can't change it.
You cannot change it, which means the UI has to be designed for maximum transparency and trust because any error is incredibly costly and irreversible. They had to build an interface to manage contracts, payments, statements, all in real time.
So the design problem wasn't just organizing data. It was designing for trust in this hyper-complex, irreversible financial system. That is a fundamentally different challenge than an inventory dashboard.
Absolutely. It demands a comfort with the logic of decentralized systems. And then you have the Total Play project in 2022. This brings us right back to the idea of structured knowledge.
For Total Play, he led the evolution of an entire digital design system.
Right, with a specific goal of transforming a whole bunch of existing products into one cohesive super app.
So if his earlier work was about creating the components,
the Total Play project was about architecting the governance for an entire ecosystem, making sure hundreds of components and patterns could coexist and scale within one single brand experience. He's the architect making sure that structural knowledge not only exists, but it evolves.
Okay, so let's shift to the philosophy behind all this. If his process is flexible, you know, it depends. What are the consistent principles? What are the non-negotiables for him?
He clarifies this with what he calls his five disciplines. And it's a brilliant framework because it defines leadership in terms of, like, actual verifiable actions.
The first two are foundational. Ideating, generating ideas, making space for every thought, and strategizing.
Thinking through the problem from every angle, laying the groundwork.
Now the third one is directing. This is making the call, giving feedback, helping the team see things differently.
This is where leadership becomes visible, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Providing clarity when everything is ambiguous.
But how do you balance directing with that final discipline, which is humanizing? Isn't there a risk of being seen as too soft or, you know, too harsh when you're giving tough feedback on a project like Starbucks?
Well, that tension is resolved in his core values. But first, he can make the call because he also practices making. He still knows how to, as he puts it, roll up his sleeves and polish some pixels. That technical credibility gives him the authority to direct. And then the humanizing part, supporting the team, providing cover, that's the safety net that allows the team to take that direction without fear.
Credibility through skill. Empathy through action. That makes sense. Let's look at the core values then, the why. The first one, design is strategy made visible.
That's powerful. It connects design directly to the business outcome. It basically argues that if your strategy is sound, but your design is poor, the strategy will fail. Design is the proof.
On that Xbox blockchain project, the strategy was decentralized trust.
And the design had to make that trust visible through transparent ledgers and clear transaction flows.
Okay, the second value is crucial for teams. Be direct, not destructive.
This is a core principle for growth. It says that honesty is necessary, but it has to be delivered with the goal of helping the other person get better, not just to criticize them. It takes a lot of emotional intelligence.
Again, that ties into humanizing, as does the third value. The best ideas are built together.
Which is so important when you're leading cross-functional teams with engineers, product managers, clients, everyone.
The fourth value is about persuasion. Narrative brings design into focus.
When you're selling a huge shift, like migrating Kohler's entire B2B platform, the tech is secondary to the story of why this change is going to help the users. The right story gets you traction.
And finally, number five, which adds that necessary bit of levity.
Master of karate and friendship for everyone.
A great line.
It's a great line, but it says so much about connection. In high-stakes consulting, sometimes the only difference between success and failure is the leader's ability to keep morale up, inject some fun, and build real rapport. It's a strategic choice to prioritize that.
So this is where we connect the dots. The architect of these huge systems and the human who makes it all happen. What's fueling him when he logs off?
Well, his personal life is basically a mirror of his professional approach. He is a builder, a planner, and a systems thinker.
Okay.
So on the strategic front, he runs a weekly D&D game, Rime of the Frost Maiden specifically. Mm. I mean, D&D is pure project management.
Right. Narrative control, risk assessment.
Complex planning.
Yeah.
All skills that are directly transferable to guiding a multi-year digital transformation.
He also plays strategy board games, Wingspan, Lords of Waterdeep. But there's a physical building side to him, too.
Absolutely. He loves to cook, specifically BBQ, which requires patience and precision. And even more profoundly, he recently rebuilt his entire front porch himself.
Wow.
A leader who tackles a physical construction project, understands dependency management, materials scheduling, scope creep, all in this very visceral way that translates directly back to digital work.
And we can't forget the 3D printer. He printed a full Helldivers armor set for Halloween.
Which is just dedication to execution and detail. So the connection is undeniable, right? Whether he's architecting a component library for a super app, planning a D&D campaign, or managing the build of a porch, he is exercising the same core muscles, process, planning, and managing complex systems.
So if we step back and summarize the main takeaways for you, the listener, it's really about understanding the mechanics of that strategic pivot. The goal isn't just to be a better practitioner. It's to use that system-level thinking as the leverage point to become a strategic guide.
And critically, to understand that while your process can be flexible, it depends, your core values have to be constant. The ultimate skill we see here is synthesis, the ability to apply core human-centered design principles to these wildly different worlds. The leader becomes an expert translator of human needs.
And on that note of the human element and narrative, we'll leave you with one final thought. His professional profile mentions, please reach out so I can tell you all about the time I was on the pirate ship from the Goonies. So think about how personal, seemingly unrelated stories like the Goonies ship or winning a Webby for being weird, how they play a role in that humanizing element of leadership. When the stakes are high, when the strategy is complex, how does sharing a personal, unexpected narrative help you break the ice and achieve a real connection with your clients and your colleagues?
That kind of narrative vulnerability, it's often the ultimate strategic tool. Thanks for diving deep with us.